when we celebrate vision and we celebrate what God's doing through our church, everything that we do, just so you know, is about reaching people and teaching people. See, you can bring in a whole bunch of people and have a big crowd, but if we don't make disciples, then we're not accomplishing the Great Commission of Jesus. And so as much as we want to reach more and more people and bring more and more people into the body of Christ, we want to make sure we're developing them, we're training them, we're teaching them. And so today's theme, what you're going to see, is how you, Life Church, have been a part of reaching and teaching. And so while they're receiving the offering, I'm going to pray over the offering. And then while they receive it, we're going to see a wonderful video by Pastor Craig giving you some great data on how you have been a part of reaching and teaching people in this last season. Father, we bless the offering right now. We know these offerings go towards this, exactly this, reaching and teaching. Lord, we also give you these offerings as acts of sacrifice, of praise, and thanksgiving that you've brought increase into our lives. But God, we also give them to increase the lives of somebody else. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Hey, Life Church. As we begin this next part of this Vision Weekend, I want to take a moment and look back to see how we've been able to reach and teach in the context of our local community and around the world. I believe what I'm about to share with you will be inspiring and motivational to your purpose in life. So let's see how our campuses combine, like Roscoe, Rockford, Geneseo, the Spanish Church, and Livestream are making a great impact this past year. Did you know that in 1 year, we've witnessed 680 salvations and 50 plus baptized in water? Just this year, 64 people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The average attendance in kids ministry is 208 and now has a great team of 25 volunteers. In 1 year, Real Life Youth Ministries grew from an average attendance of 78 to over 124 with a host of volunteers helping to lead. And since January 2015, we've had 989 families signed up to receive food from our food pantry. That equals 1,800 adults and 1,100 children. The food pantry serves on average a weekly number of 175. You may ask, why is this happening? Well, I believe God is up to something great. And the reason is, in 2014, we had 721 walk through the doors of Life Church for the first time during a weekend service. And in 2015, we've already had 1,300 people walk through the doors of Life Church. You see, in the last 30 days, we've had 3,336 individuals visit our website. In the last 3 months, we've had 654 households who watch our services online, and that averages out to be 2,600 households a year. And out of those 654 households, the top four cities that are watching are number one, Madison, Wisconsin, number two, Rockford, number three, Chicago, and get this, number four, London. You see, over the past 18 months, our combined campuses have given $307,000 to home missions, world missions, and local evangelism. We gave $29,000 to Africa, $27,000 to Europe, $32,000 to Asia, and $203,000 to North, Central, and South America missions. That would include ministries like Convoy of Hope, who respond to disasters literally around the world and give resources like food and water to people in need. That's because you gave, Life Church. Our missions giving supports 30 missionary people around the world giving their time and talent to Jesus. And that's because you gave, Life Church. If you're sitting in church this morning, it's because someone gave. Thank you, Life Church, for giving your time, your money, and your resources to further the impact of this great church. I want to encourage you to keep on believing in the principle of reaching and teaching this generation.
Yeah, you need to celebrate that huge. Go ahead. That's massive. God is doing so many great things. Amen. You know, sometimes we give and we don't see the fruit. And so that video was to try to help you see some of the fruit that God is harvesting in lives that are being touched and being changed. When we say your giving actually is making a difference, making great change, it really is. And it's going all over the world, not just here locally. Something else I want to celebrate that God is using and doing right here, right now, and in a moment I'm going to talk to you about where we're headed and some vision things of what we will be believing for and we will be seeing, but some other parts that I want you to see that have already taken place and some things we're celebrating right now that are already taking place that you've been giving to and sowing to. One of the big things is our Leadership College, our LCLC program. These are our interns that have come from all over the state, different places, to come be trained to become pastors and leaders in the next generation. Church planters, missionaries, sound and media technicians. They really are the future of the church. And so I want, in a moment, they're going to come up and Pastor Elise is going to come up and we're going to pray over them. But I want you to watch this short video that kind of paints the picture about the Leadership College that you have been sowing and creating.
Church, it's Elise. I'm the director of Life Church Leadership College. What we're doing here stemmed from a simple dream, that we would be able to train up the next generation of full-time vocational ministers to do what it is that God has called them to do and what he's called them to be. We're training them in two different ways. First, we partner with Southwestern Assemblies of God University down in Texas. This way, they get their degree at a discounted rate, and then they're getting a four-year Bachelor of Arts degree in church leadership. That way, they have the education to become a full-time minister. But secondly, we want them to have hands-on ministry experience. They get that here at Life Church in different departments with all of our staff pastors. As you can see, I'm standing here in the new Life Church Leadership College classroom. God has done so much in just 1 year. It was only last August that we just partnered with Southwestern Assemblies of God University. In 1 year, we've grown from 4 students to 16 students. God is doing so much and we obviously have his favor, but it's not just gonna end with this year. The best is still ahead of us. We believe that God is going to continually grow us, not only in size, but in capacity. We're going to see these students change the world right before our very eyes. Thank you, Life Church, for believing in and investing in the next generation of ministers. Now get ready. You're going to meet our new students.
Welcome them, Life Church. Give it up for your 2015-2016 academic year students. Here they are. We are so excited to have them here this year. Life Church, why don't you go ahead and reach your hands forward? We're just going to pray for them and welcome them into our family officially. God, right now, Lord, we give this to you. God, we know what you have done. We recognize all the greatness, Lord, in just 1 year. God, that a simple vision would become something so real in front of us. God, we give you alone all of the honor. God, you alone all of the glory. We give it back to you right now, God. We know that you have ordained these specific students to be here with us for this season. And so, God, right now, we pray in your name that you would go before them. God, that you would give them so much favor. God, that you would give them reassurance and peace and knowing, even when they're walking through their courses. God, whether that be classes, Lord, whether that be studying for a test, God, we pray that you would go before them, that you would give them favor, and God, that you would open up doors and windows of opportunity to use them and to help them become the ministers and the pastors that you have called them to be. God, we know that the best is still ahead of us. Look at all you've done, and God, we give you all of the honor for that. God, we praise you for all you've already done. But Lord, we know that the best is still ahead of us. So God, we give this to you right now, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Hey Life Church, Heather here. I want to give you a brief recap of what has been happening over the summer. We had about 35 kids get into God's Word and they memorized Psalm 23, and so it was awesome to see them excited about learning the 23rd Psalm and also applying it to their lives. We also had an incredible time through Kids Camp and Mega Sports Camp and at Kids in Power. It has been awesome for our leaders and our kids to just continue to grow in their walk with God. We have some fun and exciting things happening this fall. Our Awana program is going to be launching on September 23rd. We are revamping it, and your kids are not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a blast for leaders, for kids. It's going to be awesome, and our goal is to reach 150 kids this year. We also are going to be moving our kids' church, our kids' life program, over to the gym. Our kids' ministry has been growing, and we need more space. How cool is that? So we are going to be moving to the gym in just a few weeks, and it is going to be awesome. We are also going to be launching a 4 to 6-year-old class on Sunday mornings. So parents, if you've been looking for something for your 4 to 6-year-old, we're going to have a place designed just for them. They're not going to want to miss it. We hope to see you guys soon, and yeah, we're excited for this year.
Well, amen. God is doing amazing things in our kids program. Amen. And we're so excited about reaching and teaching and the growth that we're seeing over there with the kids. And we're also looking forward very much so to our WANA program that we're starting up again this fall. We've run it every year. This year, we have a huge goal. And our crazy goal this year is to double our impact, to double the number of students that we're going to be able to see in our WANA program. And we're moving it from the youth building over there into our gymnasium. So there is plenty of room for more students. But we need your help to do that. We need your help to fill that program and to invite kids, your neighborhood kids, any kids that you may know, especially your kids, to come. The WANA program is a powerful program where kids get a chance to be discipled, to be taught the systematic foundational principles of the Word of God, as well as get the Word of God and scriptures into their heart, and they grow so much. And so we're very excited about that. On your way out at the end of service this morning, I just want to make you aware there's going to be some resources on a table in the lobby. There'll be lots of different flyers, some that we're about to mention as well, but I just want to let you know that you're going to want to stop there on the way out, and you can pick up one of our WANA flyers as well. You can grab one for yourself, take one for some friends. Registration is about to begin. It runs through the month of September. If you have any questions, there's information on our website, but there's also, you can also call the church offices as well. I think the cost for the entire year is $45, which is phenomenal. It includes all of their supplies, absolutely everything that they would need for WANA. So you're going to want to check that out. But I also wanted to take just a couple of minutes and tell you about some very cool things that are coming here at Life Church that will help us continue to reach and teach individuals about Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Amen. Getting people saved, letting them know about who Jesus is, and then helping them be discipled. And so there's one that I wanted to mention first that that we're very excited about. And that is, we're doing something new with our healing ministry. We know healing is a huge, I mean, anytime you see and study the life of Jesus, you know that healing was a huge part, a huge piece of Jesus's heart. Every single person that came to him for healing, he healed, he touched them, and he just had compassion and care for people. And we definitely want to continue to hang on to that piece of the same heart that Jesus has. And so what we've done is we took a look at our healing school, healing ministry, hugely effective. But one of the things that we realized as we looked into healing school is that the majority of the individuals that come are believers to be discipled, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But we wanted to look, we saw in Jesus's life that he used it as an outreach. He used healing as a way to introduce people to who he was. Amen? And so we wanted to kind of do that with our healing ministry. So we'll still have Pastor Evelyn, all of our fabulous teachers, will still be teaching classes throughout the year, but we decided to revamp healing ministry and make it a bit of an outreach into the community. And so we're going to open up what we're calling, and it's going to start at the end of September. We're calling it healing ministry, so that part's not changing, but it'll be available every other Friday evening, and we're going to invite the entire community, anybody, whether they are saved, not saved, it really doesn't matter to us. We're going to invite absolutely everybody in to come and be prayed for and ministered to and be healed. Amen. So we've already been working with our healing teams, training sessions and teaching them how to do this. They're going to have wonderful one-on-one time, and we're going to believe God for lots and lots of salvations through this, and that this would be a huge arm out into our community to see God do amazing things. Amen. So if you could be believing God with us and praying with us over this ministry that's about to start, you're going to see more information about it in the coming months, but we're very much looking forward to it. We want to be the place when somebody's very sick or out there, they don't know Jesus. We want to be the place in the community. They say, hey, you need to go to Life Church's healing ministry because you're going to meet and encounter God. He's real. Amen. 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 So we're very excited about that. Another opportunity that we're very excited about is coming. It's one that if you've been around here very long, you're very familiar with, and that is our Harvest Festival. And yes, we're very excited about that. That happens every year on October 31st, and it is a massive festival that we put on here at the church to reach
our community. Amen. We seriously, this whole, if you've never been around, this whole, our whole property is transformed into one huge carnival. And we have awesome opportunities throughout the night in this room where we shut down games and people are presented the word of God. But it's also an amazing opportunity that we get to get you, Life Church, in front of the community and they get to meet you. And it's so fun because we're still hearing stories of people who came through the campus, came through on a harvest festival, and then a couple years later found themselves saying, you know what, we really need to go to church. And because they came to the harvest festival, they said, you know what, we think we should go to Life Church and check that place out. And they're sitting here right among you. There's people that there's fruit from the harvest festival every year. Amen. So we're excited about that. There's about 5,000 people every year. And you know what? This year it's on a Saturday night. And so we get even extra time. We're going to open it up, I believe, at 5 o'clock. And we are just going to, it is going to be such a fun opportunity for us to love on our entire community. Amen? Amen. Well, and then there's one more thing that's coming. There's so much more, but I only get to talk about three. but there's one more that I'm opportunity that I'm very, very excited to bring in front of you this morning. And this is the first time that we are officially announcing this. And that is our 2015 Women's Conference is coming November 12th, 13th, and 14th of this year. We are so excited about it. And out in the lobby at the end of service, you can pick up our brochures. They're here. They're finished. They're out there. They're beautiful, by the way. So make sure, ladies, you grab one for yourself, one for some friends. I tell you what, we are believing God for huge impact. We want to reach about 500 women this year at this conference. We've named the conference Truth this year for a very good reason, because when you encounter the truth of the Word of God, things happen. There's a confrontation that happens and you have to be changed. You begin to find out more about yourself, more about who God has created you to be, and you just, man, there is a ripple effect that begins to take place. So we're very excited about it. It's going to be a powerful conference. It begins Thursday evening and then it goes all day Friday night, and it concludes about 12 o'clock on Saturday. We've got some fabulous speakers. The cost and everything is in here. We're going to have so much fun. But this year, we are excited to welcome as our keynote speaker, Dr. Caroline Leaf, who, if you don't know, if you are not familiar with Dr. Caroline Leaf, she is a phenomenal, internationally known speaker who has a powerful ministry, truly all over the world, speaking. She is a doctor in neuroscience, so she studies the brain, okay? But what's been so fun is she's done her studies. She is a spirit-filled believer, and it's been fun to see how the Word of God and science line up and to preach biblical truths, and to see how you put the biblical truths in operation and how it really does change you. And so, ladies, you are going to be challenged. You're going to be inspired. She'll also be ministering that weekend in our weekend services, so everybody will have an opportunity to be blessed from her. But there's a video right now that I'd love for you to watch that kind of just gives you a little bit more of an idea of who Dr. Caroline Leaf is.
We need to pray and let God show us that was a faulty thinking. That is not who you are. That is what someone spoke over you. You cannot control what someone else says and does, but you can control your reaction.
Thinking negatively, and you'll think that you are hiding it, you cannot hide a thought. No thought is harmless. No attitude can be hidden.
The science of this scripture is that as you are thinking, you are physically building substance. And the science also tells us that whatever is substance in your brain, you will act upon. You live out whatever you've built.
So the thoughts, and it's going to produce a unique end result, what you say and what you do. And we are all entangled in each other's lives. I don't know you personally, but if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're messing up my life.
Are you excited about what God is doing? Amen. Amen. These things that we're highlighting right now are all things going on this fall. That's why we're kind of condensing it, because the year continues. But we wanted you to know what's immediately happening. The idea of the kids moving over to the gym, that's a big deal. the Awanas program. We want to see that about 140 kids come into that program this year. But that's going to happen if you get involved in that. You built that gymnasium that it would be filled with young people growing in Jesus, right? Amen. And so now we have to partner together in responsibility to invite people. It's that easy to fill it. Harvest Festival, Women's Conference, all of those ideas have to do with reaching, but I love it. Our DNA, if you don't know us very well, you're new to the church, you're going to see we truly believe everything we do involves reaching and teaching. We're passionate. Our Bible school, Life School of the Bible, just started this week. It's filled again. We're so excited. There's, 80-plus students involved in the Bible school again. Can you celebrate that? That's 4 years in. We still have that much hunger, that much thirst to learn, because we know that lives are changed by the renewing of their mind. If you just come in and give an emotional experience, if you just come in and everyone gets hyped up, if they don't learn, they're not going to change. And our passion is to see lives really changed. Amen. I don't want a big crowd alone. I want lives changed. I want marriages better. I want kids to have better parents. I want kids to grow up and become world changers. I want our community to change because we've changed the way we see the world. And so we're believing God to give us those areas of influence and the more opportunities to reach and teach. I want to remind you that tonight is the encounter service. That's at 6 o'clock. I'll be teaching a message I'm very excited about on the altars. I'll be teaching about altars. And I'm excited. We're going to have extended time of worship and then a time of ministry at those altars. So I would encourage you, we're going to have kids encounter so your kids can come and have a great time as well. But I encourage you tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll have another time of ministry. Everybody's invited. But I want to get into the message portion, of today. I want to talk to you about the vision, where we're going, and why we do what we do. I want to go back a little bit to some foundation we've laid over the years. Sometimes people remember, sometimes they don't, but I'm a big fan of our core values as a church. We have three core values, which again winds itself into everything that we're doing, including the Bible College, the LCLC program, and the dorms that you're building. Everything we do has to do with three core values: the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and relationships. We believe we have to educate people in the Word of God because that makes them strong, and when the devil tries to steal from them or deceive them, they are now empowered to know the truth, and the truth keeps them free. Makes them free, keeps them free. And so the people will know the Word of God, but also that they would know the Spirit of God. And so when we say we want to reach not to have a big number in our churches, but we want to reach so that we could teach them the Word so they know the truth. We want to reach them so they can know the Spirit. Remember the Word, the Spirit. We want them to know the Spirit of God. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. He's the power, so that the people of God are equipped for all the good work that God has for them to do no matter where they go. You know, there's going to come a time in your life that you don't have a pastor in your pocket when you have an emergency. Amen? And if you have a pastor in your pocket now, let him out. People need to know what's theirs and belongs to them because Jesus paid for it. Give me an amen. And they need to have the power of the Holy Spirit and the relationship with the Holy Spirit and knowledge of who that is and why he's valuable to them. And if we don't tell them, they'll never know. And so it's up to us. When we say we want to reach and teach, we want them to know the Word. We want them to know the Spirit of God. And we want them to have great relationships. Because we don't want people that are just strong in the Word and they're all strong in the Spirit, but they don't know how to make a friend. They don't know how to be a dad. They don't know how to be a mom. They don't know how to be a husband or a wife. They're speaking in tongues, but they're a lousy husband. We need this to change. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know, we need people not only to go to church and say, I know the Bible backward and forward. I know end time prophecy. I know how to heal people. I'm filled with the Spirit, but you're a terrible employee at your job. We want all of it. Amen. We want you to be great at relationships, a great boss, a great employer, great with your family, and your relationship with God as well to thrive. In our Harvest Festival, everything we do falls within those three core values. You know, you say, how does the Harvest Festival fall into that core value? It's building relationship with the lost. It's building relationship with our community so our community knows we're not just the big bubble in Roscoe, but that we actually have faces, and they're good-looking faces, and they love Jesus faces, and that we have tangible acts of kindness that go with that. We're building relationships. So everything we do. And so when we say we're about reaching and teaching, I want you to have those three core values resonating in your heart: the Word, the Spirit, and relationships. Today, as I move into vision, I want to talk to you about a few stories in the Bible that I think are going to help kind of paint the picture for us. Over the last few weeks, I've been challenging you to make space in your life, to stretch your tent, and to let God, and that you intentionally making room by preparing yourself, because God's going to do something bigger in your life. But now I want to talk to you as an organized church, as a family, as a body, where we come together, and I believe God's asking us corporately. If God's asking you to do it individually, then that means he's doing it corporately as well. Because if each of you are expanding, if each of you are growing, if each of you are stretching, that means the corporate church is doing that as well. If God's enlarging your territory, he's enlarging our territory, because we're a family, we're one body. Does that make sense? So I want to talk to you about making room for God, even as a corporate body, making room, giving him space. And the Lord began to talk to me even this week about making space. And the concept is this: when we make space, when space is given to God, he fills it. When space is given to God, he fills it. When space is given to God in a home, God will fill that home. When space is given to God in your calendar, your day timer, how many of you know God will fill that space? If you say, God, I'll give you 30 minutes every morning, how many of you know God will take it? What happens if you give him 35 minutes? Is he going to take it? Absolutely. If you bring another person into the kingdom of God and you give space of a human heart, will God fill it? Absolutely. The whole concept here is the more space we give God, the more he fills. When we make room for God in our life, in our world, in our ministry, in the vision of the church, God fills it. And so we want to talk to you about making space corporately and God being able and more than willing to fill it. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. I want to talk to you about a story. I'm sorry, I was excited. I didn't give you a chance. Ready? 2 Kings, chapter 4. Hallelujah. 2 Kings, chapter 4. I want to give you a story of Elisha. Now, we mentioned him in the last few weeks, Elisha. He was the servant of Elijah. Let me paint a picture for those of you that may be new to your Bibles and you don't know these stories. Elijah and Elisha were two major prophets in the Old Testament. God did some tremendous miracles through them. Elijah called fire down out of heaven. Elisha parted the Jordan. Elisha raised people from the dead. I mean, it's just awesome stories in the Old Testament. And here we see that Elisha had developed a prophetic school, a school of prophets, which is a great way to see that God wants us to have prophetic education, not just to be called, but also to see you need to be discipled in your prophetic gift. That's just a plug for prophetic ministry. Cha-ching. All right, here we go. Elijah and Elisha. So Elisha has a prophetic school, and one of his prophets in the school passes away, and he leaves a widow, and he leaves two sons, and for some reason or another, the prophet had a bunch of debt, how things worked back then, where they were indentured and different things. The prophet, when he died, so now the family was left to pay all of that debt. And God had a solution. God had a plan to do that. But that's kind of where we see this story. Now, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet, this is verse 1 of chapter 4, cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Would you please underline that in your Bibles? A jar of oil. Then he said, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all of your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few." So underline that. Do not get a few. Basically, don't have small expectation, have big expectation, okay? And what God's about to do is going to be limited only by your preparation and expectation. Give me an amen on that. What God's about to do is only going to be limited by your preparation and expectation. Do not get a few. "And you shall go in and shut the door behind you, you and your sons, and pour out into all of these vessels." Now, these are the empty vessels we were talking about. "And you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There aren't any more vessels." And the oil stopped. Underline that in your Bible. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and your sons can live on the rest." Isn't that a powerful passage? There's so much truth in there. I mean, today I want to talk to you about, yes, the vision of the corporate church here, but even for yourself personally, you might see yourself being overwhelmed, swamped, even by financial situation. You know, God has more than one way to take care of your financial need. Isn't that great? Just because you can't see a way to make it out doesn't mean God doesn't have a way to make it out. And so today, even if you came for that one scripture to say God can make a way where there wasn't a way, you just have to trust him. And you have to do what it is he's telling you to do, even if it sounds silly. Okay? That's your little free chicken nugget for the day. All right? Let's get back into the corporate vision here. A couple principles I want you to see in this. When we make space for God, God fills it. When God has room, he keeps filling. I look at the oil. The lady didn't have an oil problem. Listen to this. The problem, or the biggest need, is finding more vessels, not if there will be enough oil. Empty vessels is our quest. Finding more and more empty vessels is our quest. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. The oil is used to anoint the prophet or the king, and it's a sign of the power of God or the presence of the Spirit of God coming on them to do their assignment. The oil is the Spirit of God. That's why I said underline it in your Bible. And I think sometimes that we underestimate the power of what we have in our house. Sometimes you as an individual, you might think, I don't have anything to beat this mountain. I don't have anything to solve this problem. But I want to ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? Because if you are, you're like this widow who's saying, I don't have anything except a little jar of oil. And what I'm telling you is that little jar of oil that you have is more than enough to solve your problem. Yeah. Amen. You need to start having some confidence in the oil. We have so underestimated the power of the oil in our life and in our vessel. We are Spirit-filled people. Amen. We are filled with the wisdom of God, the power of God, the knowledge of God, the authority of God, the weapons of God, the name of God. Must I go on? You underestimate what you have in your house. And the same thing happens with the church sometimes. We take for granted that we're a Spirit-filled church and we have what this city needs and this region needs to turn it around. We have more than enough oil to fill every vessel we come in contact with. The problem is we stop finding empty vessels. When we stop getting empty vessels, the oil stops flowing. And so we see now this thing, this entrustment that God's given us to say, God has given us the oil. We have more than we think we have. I love the Holy Spirit. Life Church, you are a people of the Spirit of God. And our world, our region, our generation needs to be reintroduced to the Holy Spirit of God because they're empty. And if they don't have access to the oil, they're going to stay empty. They don't need just lights and sound and great production. They need the oil. They need the power of God. They need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They need the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in their life. They need someone to introduce them and teach them and help them build the bridge between some of their skepticism of the Holy Spirit and the reality of who he is. They need someone to teach them how to operate in those gifts so they don't get crazy and off kilter, you know, in the weeks and years to come. We have a responsibility to help people get filled with this oil. There's a lot of empty people in our region, in our cities, in our areas. There's a lot of empty vessels. We need to get them the oil. Imagine this illustration. I wish I had an illustration here where I had 1,000 empty cups on this platform. Now, the reason I don't have that is because I would have driven Lee crazy trying to get 1,000 empty cups on this platform. He's our media director, and he's so helpful, and he would have tried. But I would have loved 1,000 empty cups. And then imagine that I have a hose attached to a sink. There's a sink back here. If you've never been back there, it's nothing special. It's just a stainless steel sink. But I just wanted you to know there's a sink back there. Imagine I had a hose to that sink, and I brought the hose out, and I began to fill all these empty cups. Let me ask you this question. How many cups could I fill? All of them. Amen? What if I had added another cup? Would I have enough to fill that cup? Yes. Some of you are skeptical. You're like, well, is the sink turned on? Yes, the sink is on. This is not a trick question. I'm not trying to fool you. The sink is on. The hose is attached. It's not a trick, okay? If I added a third and a fourth and a fifth cup, would I have enough to fill that cup? So the only reason more cups aren't getting filled isn't because of a lack of supply. It's a lack of empty vessels. Are you seeing that? And that's the passion that we as a church need to have back inside of us. Say, God, help me find more empty vessels. Help us not to just sit around and say, oh, we want more oil. The oil flows when more empty vessels are around. Are you hearing that? Because the oil needs to flow into those empty vessels. And in increasing our capacity to reach more and more of those empty vessels. But we have to see the value of what we have. Like the widow didn't get the value of what she had. We have to see the value that we carry that oil. And that we, of what we have, is what God wants to put in those empty vessels. And so in this next season of the church, we're going to expand our reach so that we can get to more empty vessels. You see, it's interesting that the sons had to go out and find the empty vessels. You understand, vessels don't find themselves. Empty vessels didn't get up one day and say, I'm going to walk to the widow's house so I can get full. They have to be brought to the house. Come on, somebody. Understand what I'm saying. There's more oil. And you know what? Both were blessed. The empty vessel's blessed because they're not empty anymore. And the one that brought the empty vessel is blessed because now they're rewarded because they found more vessels. Come on, someone. Do you understand the participation? Do you understand the heart? That we're not sitting around saying, empty vessels come to us. We go get them that we may fill them.
Amen.
Amen. And it gets more fun for everyone. It gets more fun. That even rhymes. We can make a t-shirt out of that. It gets more fun for everyone. God stops filling when there's no more space for him to fill. It's when churches die. The oil stops. Why? Because there's no more empty vessels. Everyone's sitting around full and fat. And there's no, not that I'm calling you fat. I'm just saying. There's no more space. There's no more space for God. And so we have to have this passion, this concept of we have something valuable, this oil, that we need to bring to the empty vessels in our world around us. We need to be proactive and look and value what we have as a church. Are we the only church that's filled with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. I will never become one of those churches that thinks they're the only person on the block. God is doing a great work. This world is too big for one church to be the only show in town. You understand? But I don't know the other churches the way I know this church. And so I want to be responsible and value what I know we have. And I am more than confident that what we have is enough to fill every empty life. I am so confident that if you bring a hurting friend into this house and you allow them to go through the process of not just being reached, but taught, your life and their life will change. I believe this house has more oil, enough oil to save a marriage, to save a body, a human body from sickness and disease, to save them from spiritual bondage and addiction, to save them from the destructive path they're on. It's not only let's gather together and just pay our dues, but it's life-changing what's in this house. We must value what we have so we understand why we want to pour it into the life of an empty vessel. Amen. Second thought. So the first one is making room. And the second thought is this, closing the gap. Over the last few months, God's been speaking to me about that. Kevin, because that's my name. It is. We need to close the gap. Lord, what does that mean? Well, we have a wonderful house of worship on the north, far north side of Rockford. We have a wonderful house of worship on the far south side of Rockford. But in the middle there, there's 150,000 people that aren't coming to either of these churches. And there's a lot of other churches in the middle that they're not going there either. But for some reason, between our two churches, there's a whole lot of people that are still empty and they need to be filled.
Amen.
Are you understanding that? And we need to close the gap between these two churches. From the north, from the south, we're going to bring it together. Somehow, some way, we need to bridge that gap between that realm. You know, our television broadcast that you've been producing and that you've been sowing into for the last 3 years, we have a faithful audience of 20,000 viewers a week in that Rockford area. A little bit north as well, but mostly in that Rockford area. 20,000 individuals who, for some reason or another, Roscoe's too far for them to come to on a faithful basis, on a consistent basis. The Rockford campus is too far for them to come to on a consistent, faithful basis. And so we are responsible now to close the gap, to become part of their world rather than saying, hey, if you want oil, you've got to drive 30 minutes to Roscoe. Let's bring the oil to where the people are. Are you understanding that? Same would be true. You saw on that video that Madison, Wisconsin is reaching out. There's like 75 homes watching us on the internet in Madison. That's a lot of people. But there's a lot of space between here and Madison. We need to close the gap. Janesville's on the way, everybody. And we need to close the gap between these realms. The west side of Rockford. We have a passion to see God do a massive work in our city. And I believe there's oil in this house that would work very well on that side of town. And we need to close the gap. Rather than being a church that says, hey, if you want oil, come here. We have to have the close the gap mentality that says we have the solutions and we're bringing it to your world. Amen. You know, there's 1,000 reasons why Roscoe or the far Rockford campus, South Rockford campus is too far for people. I mean, just think about it for a minute. Out of those 20,000 viewers that are watching us in between. I mean, in the middle of winter, 30-minute drive, that's a long drive. You understand that? I mean, it's snowing outside and you're thinking, should I go to church? And it's not just the Sunday morning experience. Remember, we're not only about gathering on Sunday morning. We're about teaching, which means Bible school programs and freedom ministries and healing ministries and Awana clubs for our kids. You realize church is more than an hour and a half experience, right? Because it's about reaching and teaching, and there needs to be access in their life. And so in the middle of winter, when it's a blizzard outside, it's really hard to get excited about, let's drive 30 minutes to go to church. In the middle of winter, when it gets dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're like, do we really want to drive 30 minutes to Roscoe to go to Bible school today? We need to get Bible school 10 minutes away from their life rather than 30 minutes away from their life. When a working mom who has 1,000 kids because her husband just wouldn't stop, you know, just leave me alone, you know, and she was gracious. And she's got to get 1,000 kids. I don't know how I said that. That was really rude. And I'm not even on cold medicine. Anyways. She's got all these kids to get ready. And you're like, you're serious? You want me to get all these kids fed, homework done, drive a half hour, get them to Awana? Are you seeing why the value there of closing the gap into their world? Guys, it's a responsibility on our part. You say, Pastor Kevin, so what are you saying? Just say it. Just say it. I don't have all the solutions of what I'm trying to say, but what I see is this. I see us multiplying our main campus somehow, some way, in a greater dimension in between our two campuses. Many of you drive from Rockford, and you have challenges too. You sit there, you're sitting here in your heart going, amen. It's a long drive between here and there. You know, if you're going up the highway or if you're going up Alpine or Mulford, depending, those of you who are unfamiliar with the Rockford area, Mulford, with the traffic on Mulford and Perryville, what could have taken a half hour could take you the rest of your life. Because there's so much light, the lights and the traffic, and who knows, construction, which is half of the year of what's going to happen, and we don't even know if you can even get to church. And so I believe God somehow, some way is going to, it's not a, the vision is not just a small church plant in between. But rather in the same quality, the same excellence, the same scale of what we're doing here in Rockford, Roscoe, literally by God's grace, multiplying that immediately, not like a 3-5 year plan, but multiplying the quality, excellence, scale of what we're doing here in between our campuses, because we have over 500 people that drive from Rockford now. And now empowering them in their neighborhood on a large scale so they can invite their friends, their neighbors, their families, and those 20,000 viewers to come to the church. See, more empty vessels. That's what we're about, right? Some people might think, you know, well, why would I be excited about putting a church in a town that I don't live in? Because it's a kingdom mentality. It's just like missionaries. You say, why do I give to Africa? Because there's empty vessels in Africa. Why do I give more to Rockford? Rockford's already saved. Really? We need to give at home and abroad. We need to have a passion to continue to reach every vessel in our region and beyond. And so we need to make space, because if we make space led by the Spirit of God, if we make space, God will fill that space with His Spirit. Amen. God will fill that space. But if we don't make space, He can't fill it because it doesn't exist. And we have to have the mentality of close the gap. Close the gap. Let me just briefly share with you how scriptural the close the gap mentality is. Luke chapter 15. Just a couple of stories and we'll close. Luke chapter 15. A couple parables taught by Jesus. This is so a part of our Christian culture. The idea of not yelling at empty vessels, not that we would yell, and saying, y'all come here. If they really want Jesus, they'll drive to Roscoe. That's not the scriptural model. The scriptural model is those with the answer, those with the oil, those called of God, they go to the people that are lost. That's the scriptural model. Not trying to make it more difficult for the lost to find us, but rather the found to find them. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 15. Now, Jesus speaking, he says, so he told them a parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? So it's not a passive idea. It's a we're selling out. We're committed to finding the lost sheep. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, and he says to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I tell you in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The next parable. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until, there it is again, intentionality, commitment, until she finds it. When she's found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. In the same way, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And lastly, the story of the prodigal son, which I won't go into, but it's the same idea. The prodigal son is lost, living in sin. He, in his heart, makes a decision. I want to go home. I need to get my life right with my father. He makes a turn to come home. And the moment the father sees the son coming over the hill, the father doesn't wait for the son to come all the way to him. The father runs to the son who has a heart that wants to repent, and he's taking this long journey home. God the Father closes the gap to the person that desires to give their life to him. Are you understanding that? And then Jesus, finally, the same picture. Jesus came to us, the lost. It wasn't, hey, you guys come up the mountain of God, but rather I'm coming from the throne of God. I'm going to close the gap to the empty vessels of this world. I'm coming to them. I'm coming to them. And Jesus himself then tells his disciples, go into all the world, amen, and make disciples. He doesn't say make the world come to Jerusalem. He says go to the world. From Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, bring the oil. Are you hearing me? That's the biblical mentality. That's the scriptural mentality. There's this go in our heart. There's this sense of if there's hurting people there, we want to be there. We want to be up close into their world. We want to have an expression, a presence to reach and teach in their world. And so I'm telling you now, do I have all the details of what this means to multiply ourselves in this capacity in Rockford? I don't have all the details. I'm working on some, and I will present them to you as I have more information. But also the Madison area and West Side, I need us to begin to pray and passionately seek God. Lord, we have this much time with our life to reach as many empty vessels as possible. And if we can get around more empty vessels, I know we have more than enough oil to fill their life. And when we fill their life, we're blessed too. Amen. And so we as a church have a passion to not just build a little museum in Roscoe, but to continue to plant and build life churches, life centers, life giving, life presenting, bringing life communities into these places so that we can reach and teach and go as far as we can until Jesus hits the stop button. Amen. Amen. What we're going to do right now is we're going to close and give you an opportunity to give to some of these future fall visions. And we're going to show you a video in just a moment, and we're going to pray. Ushers, if you'll prepare. Now, this is a secondary offering. This is something that I want you to just kind of consider in your heart. You may say, I didn't come ready to give twice today. That's okay, because it's not about compulsion. I really don't want you to give just to say, okay, I gave to that. In the next few weeks, the next month or so, we're going to be taking additional offerings to help us with all the fall vision that we're talking about. The Awana program doubling in size and the kids moving over, that's going to take about $7,000 to accomplish that. The Harvest Festival takes about $30,000 to accomplish that. The dorms that we're building in the Rockford campus for our Bible college student, You've provided about $12,000 and you built a beautiful study center. I would encourage you to go over there and see it. It's a top quality study center. Great with its internet, great with computer stuff so that they can access the internet, do their studies efficiently. It's a great learning environment. Now we need to raise the additional $80,000-something to build the dorms. And we were approved this week, by the way, finally approved this week to do the dorms in Rockford. So that we can celebrate that. That's a big hurdle. And now we have our approval to do that. But now we need to raise the finances. And so that's why I'm saying today's not about one offering. It's not about, hey, let's raise all that in one time. It's a big number. What we need just for the fall vision to reach and to teach. But I believe over the next few weeks and months, God can bring it in. Amen. He's going to bring it in through us, and he can do that. So today's just the beginning. So you might pray about it. You might be praying over the next few weeks, Lord, what should I do? What can I do? But we're just starting in that direction. If you're going to text give today, you can text the word vision, and it'll link it to this vision offering. And all this is going into the fall. As God gives us wisdom and clarity in the future, we'll continue to give you information. We'll continue to talk about it and pray about it. But I want you to understand, it's planting churches and things and doing what we're talking about. This isn't a new concept for us. We've been doing this. You know, even the Rockford area, that's not a new thing. You've been seeding the Rockford area for 3 years with the television program. You've been doing that. We've been knocking on their front door for 3 years, and they're just waiting for an opportunity to come to church. We've also been preparing you to be leaders in all these campuses that we're talking about. You know, what do you think the Bible school's for? Just so you sit around and have a Bible education? No. It's so that you can be a leader in the house of God and help other people get filled that are empty when they come. Are you understanding? We have hundreds of Bible school students sitting in this room. We've been moving in this direction, but now this thing's time to break open. You understand? We've been planning. The Bible College, those are future church planters. Many of them are going to help us plant campuses around the world, around this country. Guys, we're working the same plan. This isn't a new plan. I want you to see this. We've been training for this, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is saying it's time. You've been preparing for 4 years. You've been seeding Rockford for 4 years. It's time. You need to get your anointings around more empty vessels, which means getting out of the same environment and getting to more empty vessels. We have been preparing for this. Yeah. Amen. You can celebrate that. You have been preparing for this. You are ready. You are ready. But now we need to create the space so that we can get in front of more empty vessels. The ushers are going to come. I'm going to pray. And while they're receiving the offering, I want you to watch a testimony of a life that was reached. It's gone through our teaching process and has been changed. This is our prayer that God would give us more of these. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we bless this offering. May it go to this immediate vision here in the fall. But Lord, we continue to pray together. Help us to reach more, that they may be taught, that they may be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Throughout my whole 20s, I was looking for something. I wasn't sure what I was looking for, but I wanted to believe in something. And I knew it wasn't God, and I knew it wasn't Christianity, but I thought it was everything else. Anywhere from magic to Buddhism to whatever I made up, basically. Kind of whatever drugs or alcohol led me to believe. But it was very, very lonely and very depressing. I felt empty the whole time. I drank constantly. That's really the main thing I remember from my 20s, was drinking all the time. I really was just searching and looking because of the emptiness I had in myself. And then around my 30s, I was starting to try to get a little bit better, to change my life. And I knew I needed a change, but nothing really changed much until I was about 32 and I had my son. And then it dawned on me that I really, really needed to change my life. I started thinking about going to church again, but I never stayed through with it. I just didn't follow through. I didn't feel comfortable there. I can't say I didn't feel accepted, because some of the places I went, they tried to help and they reached out. But I really kept doing drugs up until 2 days before I was saved. I remember one day, a month before I came to the Lord, I was reading famous people's last words, and Aleister Crowley, who's one of the most notorious magicians from 100 years ago, his last words were, "Satan, not you," and that shook me. It absolutely shook me, because I thought, does this mean that Jesus and God are actually real? Does this mean that I've been living a complete lie looking for something that was right in front of me my whole life? So for about 3 weeks, I just thought and thought and thought this. And at about that same time, me and my son's mom broke up, and that's when I was extremely devastated. And I started drinking heavily. I drank every single night. I slept probably 3 hours a night for the next 10 days. This is when I actually started getting careless and sleeping with a bottle of alcohol, hoping my son wouldn't come down and find me in the disaster that I was in. And then one Saturday night, I couldn't sleep, so about 2 in the morning, I asked my mom to actually lay hands on me. I don't know why, but I thought maybe she could lay hands on me and I could go to sleep, and she did. So I told my mom that I really felt like I should go to church that next morning on Sunday. But then it had taken me so long to actually fall asleep that I really decided I probably wouldn't go. So actually, when I woke up in the morning, I saw the sunlight poking through my window, and for some bizarre reason, I jumped up out of bed and I ran upstairs and I looked for my mom and my son, and they were right in front of me, but I actually said, "You guys didn't leave the church without me, did you?" For some odd reason, I had a powerful desire to go to church that day. And I had really been crying the whole time for the last 2 weeks, even up to this moment, even the drive to church. And I went to church and I didn't even shower. And I was just a disaster. I looked like a disaster and I felt like a disaster with no sleep and just nothing but sadness and depression. And I got to church, and the next thing I know, Pastor Evelyn, Pastor Norma, and Sherry came over to me, and they just laid hands on me. And they prayed for about 15 minutes with me. And I said the sinner's prayer. They gave me a Bible, which nobody's ever just randomly given me a Bible. From that day on, it really just changed my whole life. The anger was instantly gone. The sadness and the despair, the loneliness, it was instant. I got an instant transformation from God. All of a sudden, I wanted to listen to Christian music, and I had no desire to listen to the music I was listening to before. I wanted to be productive and do things with my family. It was day and night. I've never seen anybody get transformation like that. I can't even describe the joy that I felt when that happened. So really, ever since I came back to Jesus, I've been just had this huge hunger to know God. I read my Bible as much as I possibly can, and if I don't, then I get on myself and I make myself do it some more. I need to know God and I need to understand Him more. I've almost been living at Life Church. I've been going to as many classes as I can, Evelyn's classes, Beverly's classes. I've been going to all the functions we have here. I try to be here as often as I can to meet as many people as I can and hear the word as much as I can. I'm even in life school with the Bible, which is just absolutely amazing. And I just try to help out as much as I can now with the church. I help do volunteer with camera work. And really my home life is completely different. My son actually sees me now because I'm not hiding, because I'm not messed up, I'm not doped up. I actually can do things with him. I can take him places now. I have money now where I didn't have before, partially because I was spending it on all the wrong things before. But I've also started tithing, and it's just, there's money at the end of the week that never would have been there before for some odd reason. And only God can explain that, but it's really just a miracle. What God has done in my life is absolutely astonishing. It's an absolute miracle.
Amen. I remember when Chad gave his heart to Jesus, I believe it was on a Mother's Day. Isn't that cool? Where he came in and his mom was there with him and she was there to see her son give his life to Jesus that morning. It was awesome, awesome. But I think, you know, I was thinking while watching the video, you know, what if the church wasn't there? Or what if the ministry wasn't there? Or what if in his moment of saying, "Today I want to give my life to Jesus," the church was an hour away or something like that, if we weren't able to be close enough to meet that need. And so again, it's about being there, and not just the Sunday event, but the midweek stuff, because that's part of God's process of transformation in people's lives. Some people say, I'll drive to church once a week. That takes me 30 minutes or an hour. But church is more than that. Some people, these empty vessels, it takes some work in their lives to help transform them. And we need to be close. We need you as leaders that have been trained close to them. Close enough where you can come and be there after work and that they can get there after work. Okay? Go ahead and stand up. Like I said, we've been preparing for this, guys. Now we just need God's wisdom on how to make it happen. Let's go ahead and pray. And when I'm done praying, I'm going to ask the altar workers to come to the front and they can be here to pray for you. You might need a healing. Maybe you want to give your heart to Jesus. You might need a word from heaven. It's great. We'll be here available. The altar team will be down here. I'm going to close service differently today. I'll just say a prayer and I'm going to close. And I just ask you, please hear my heart on this. I want us to do this together. God's been training us for this together. This is not, oh, this is Pastor Kevin's vision. Listen. This is the vision God is seeing over us, and it's the next step for all of us. And so you need to be praying, where do I fit in this? You know, God, I live in the Janesville area. I live in the Madison area. Where do I fit in this? Or Lord, I come from Rockford. Where do we fit in this? Is it time for us to get more involved and trained so that when we multiply, we can be there on the front lines in the new Rockford campus? You know, start asking God questions and how you fit and how to put this piece, these puzzle pieces together. He knows what to do. He sees the box, and he knows where each piece fits. And so I'm going to pray. Remember, tonight, 6 o'clock, we're going to have a great service of worship, great service of altar time and ministry. But today was about reaching and teaching, where we've been, what we're doing, and what we're praying to do. And we're going to believe God for it. Heavenly Father, we seal all of this in the precious name of Jesus. You said to lean not on our own understanding, but just to acknowledge you in all of our ways. And so, Lord, we're acknowledging you that you want more vessels filled. You want Rockford more covered. You want ministry in the west side of Rockford and the north of us, and I believe in beyond. Continue to guide our steps, for the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. But we as a church say yes to the idea that we're supposed to close the gap. It's our responsibility to find the lost coin, our responsibility to find the lost sheep, our responsibility to go to the prodigal. Father, I thank you. We say yes to the close the gap mentality, and we give you the praise and glory. Help us each to know where we fit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you as you go.